97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, we still have a lot to get to here this afternoon. We're going to get back into the CBS News story, dressing down Tony DiCoppola on the morning show, which was fascinating. I got into that and played some of the audio yesterday. But Nicholas Fondacero, who's with Media Research Center, is going to join us. We got Kilmeade in the next hour. Also, George Rosenthal, our friend from ThrottleNet. We're going to talk a little bit about Starlink and how that works. In fact, we have maybe a real-life example of that here this afternoon, although we're trying to still arrange it. Ryan Goble is the captain of Sea Trek 1, which is a charter fishing boat. It's down near Fort Myers. The owner of that ship is Deborah Donzie, who's with us this afternoon. We were trying to get Ryan on the line. Deborah, are you there?
I am. And actually, my husband is on the phone, too. I conference called him, and he's in Ohio. So, Chuck, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we're all over the country. That's pretty good. I like technology. The problem is we don't have Ryan on right now, right?
I know, and Chuck's been in constant contact with him, and I talked to him, and he said he would answer unless, and Chuck can tell you better what's going on.
All right,
there.
Chuck, yeah, give us the update here, and is this smart to kind of stay down there and try to ride this out, I think would be one question.
Yeah, you know, they are, they're probably 8 to 10 miles inland up a river, so they're protected from the storm surge because they went past the first set of locks. So that is our hurricane plan for the boat, if you will, so that it's protected, you know, from the storm surge. Now, they'll still get wind and rain, but it won't be anything, you know, as if you're right on the beach or right on the coast where you get that heavy, you know, anywhere from, you know, 6-foot-plus storm surge. I mean, with Ian, we had almost 15 feet of storm surge at our dock, and it was... devastating.
Yeah, and I think we spoke with you guys a couple of years ago. That was 2 years ago, essentially last week, right? Right around the end of September that came through.
Yep, September 28th.
And that boat got, if I remember that conversation, that thing got tossed around quite a bit down there, didn't it?
Yeah, it broke free, and we couldn't get up the river because the drawbridge for the railroad was down, and they wouldn't open it for us. But anyway, it broke free from the dock and went across the four-lane highway and was over in the mangroves.
What happened with Helene? And was there an impact with Helene? Obviously, a little bit different area, a different, you know, trek that this hurricane is taking. But did you have challenges there as well?
Helene, we had some flooding at our dock. We didn't move the boat, but everything was fine there. We had some flooding. We probably had 4 foot of water over the seawall, and at our location there, we had some flooding and some cleanup. No real major damage, just more cleanup than anything.
And Mark, no real damage because the house was already wiped out.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's no building. Well, there's no building there to damage anymore. So,
well, yeah, there is that. Now, how long have you guys been doing this down there in Florida? And I guess maybe my question would be, how much is this impacting your business now? Because it seems like the hurricanes, at least the past couple of years, have really increased.
Yeah, so it's a crazy story. So our son has been down there for 7-8 years, working for the Sea Trek charter boat, and it came up an opportunity that the previous owner was wanting to sell it, and so we kind of discussed it and talked about it, and we ended up buying it, and we actually signed the papers and bought it 3 weeks to the day before Hurricane Ian hit.
Oh, I remember that.
So then we went almost 9 months to get back in business. So obviously, you know, spending a lot of money on repairs, no revenue coming in. So we've been doing it for a couple of years, a little over 2 years. But I talked to locals down there, to Captain Kenny, who we bought the business from. He's been there his whole life. And I just asked him last week, I said, Kenny, have you ever seen anything like this where it's just these major hurricane after major hurricane? He said, no, I've never. As a matter of fact, we've taken the boat up the river now 3 times, and in 40-plus years, Kenny said he did it once.
Well, that says something right there. Hey, by the way, this is just a random question, but I was thinking about this. No one ever discusses this. What the hell happens to all these fish during a hurricane, and how long does that take to settle down before you can go back out there and fish again? You would think that there'd be severe damage to their, you know, infrastructure, but maybe not. You guys know?
Well, actually, from what I heard, and we weren't able to get out right after the hurricane the last time, but actually, from what I heard, the fish, it was really good.
Fascinating. Well, maybe they get real hungry after that. They got to hunker down, and then they get hungry, right?
Well, that, and there's for quite a while, there's a lot less fishing pressure, people out fishing, because, you know, they've lost their boats and they can't get out there.
Well, that makes a difference too. Absolutely. Well, at this point, so you're just kind of, you know, hoping that Ryan's okay, and you're gonna, the Starlink, we're gonna get a little explanation of that in the next hour. I don't know much about Starlink, but that's something that's helped you with communication here in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we have Starlink on our boat, and what that does is when we're out, you know, we'll be out as far as, you know, 120, 130 miles offshore on some of these fishing trips, and obviously you have no cell phone coverage out there. So with Starlink, we've got Wi-Fi with Starlink, and you could do Wi-Fi calling. So, you know, we're able to stay in contact. And
that's amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing.
It really is.
While they're out there, yeah, it really is. And it's, before, you had to have a satellite phone.
Right.
And now we've got, not only do we have, you know, Wi-Fi calling, but they've got Wi-Fi on the boat. They can, you know, watch movies and do whatever they want.
You're telling me they don't have cell towers in the middle of the damn ocean? Come on. AT&T can't step up their game. That is really, that's incredible that that is providing, you know, so much advantage down there for sure. Well, thank you, too, for giving us the update this afternoon. We hope that Ryan's okay, and keep us posted. Okay, Debbie?
Okay, I sure will.
Chuck, you too. Thank you so much for jumping on here.
All right.
Appreciate it. Wow. I mean, I don't even know. They're far away from all the action, but still, that would make me a little nervous. This guy's named Reed Timmer. He was on Fox, and he's a storm chaser. I think these guys are crazy. I saw some of the videos of one of the hurricane hunters. They were in the eye of Milton and just shaking around up there. This was a guy that went, you know, chasing down Helene.
I'm right in the eye of Category 4 Hurricane Helene. When's it going to be gusting over 100 miles an hour shortly here?
All right, so that was a couple of weeks ago. Now in Tampa.
Well, I'm here in the downtown Tampa area, and it is a ghost town here. You can see a lot of boarding up that's happening. People have taken it very seriously in Tampa. There are gas shortages between Tampa and Orlando. You really can't get gas anywhere right now across these areas. And I'm just seeing chickens migrating throughout the streets of downtown Tampa here.
What?
But it looks like it is going to be trending a little bit south, and that exact track definitely is very important, because wherever that comes ashore, the dirty side of the system is where the storm surge comes in. Right where that eye wall comes in at a perpendicular angle to the shoreline.
All right, so the chickens are on the loose down there as well. Now, he kind of addressed the differences between these two hurricanes, Helene and Milton.
Well, Helene definitely had that close upper-level low just upstream of it, so you had that Fujiwara interaction. Basically, it sucked Helene like a magnet due north, and that basically like a slingshot mechanism took it right up into the southern Appalachians, becoming a mega disaster up there in terms of flooding, a hydrological nightmare across that complex terrain of the southern Appalachians. This one has a much flatter trough upstream. It's barely a subtle little upper level system, and that's why it's taken more of an easterly track right over the Florida Peninsula and then eventually out to sea. So at least the good news is that it's not going to be pulled northward into the southern Appalachians where Helene hammered so hard.
So we had Dave Murray on earlier this hour. He has said, if I'm not mistaken, he's flown into the eyes of hurricanes, right? He's been on some of these planes.
Yes, he said it was awful.
This guy says he's going to do it for this one.
Yeah, my objective is to get in the eye. We have some new sensors that we're going to deploy, and my goal is to get a vertical sounding inside of the eye with these new high-resolution sensors. So our goal is definitely scientific and also to report as the conditions deteriorate across this area. Those people that evacuated like to see what's happening in their home after they get out. So we'll be covering that, the storm surge, and also deploying data inside of the eye.
Wow, there you go. Reed Timmer chasing down Milton. We're going to keep you posted throughout the next 24 to 48 hours. It could be a bad one tomorrow as this comes ashore in just about 4 hours.
Get more at 971talk.com.